Numbers 11, verses 6 to 9. Manna. I want to show two things, I think, here. First, the wonder of the manna. The marvelous supernatural gift that this was for Israel at this time. But I want to show also how in this passage we have the way the Israelites grumbled at the sameness of this manna. So, first of all, look at the manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went round gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cut it in a pot and so on. It tasted like this and the dew settled. It was there every morning when they got up, apart from the Sabbath morning and so on. Now, it was a supernatural gift from God. Exodus 16, verse 15 is explicit. This was God's gift of food, of protein, of fiber, what they needed to sustain them for their travel through the wilderness. Of course, they had nearly 40 years of it, but that's because they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years because of their sin, as we know, but they refused to go in to the land at Kadesh Barnea. But it was God's provision. Look how simple it all was. Look how sufficient it all was. Look how regular it all was. And it was remarkably adaptable to their needs and so suitable to them. It was free. It was there all the time. They could rely upon it, the reliability of it. These are tremendous words, aren't they? Simplicity, sufficiency, regularity, reliability. It never failed. It never faltered. It never varied. It was there for them, and they could use it in various ways. There were certain conditions about not keeping it, and so on. The Sabbath came into it. We know this in Exodus 16, and so on. But nevertheless, here we have then this glorious, wonderful provision. But nevertheless, as I say, I use that word. The Hebrews grumbled. And what was it they grumbled about? What was it particularly that upset them? It was the sameness of it. You remember in verse 6, that's why I went back to that. We've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. They want something new. They got used to it. It never changed. They wanted some variety. They're no longer satisfied with it. It was only a temporary food to last while they were passing through the wilderness. What else would they have? If they had to go hunting every day for food and provision, I mean, they would never have found it. But God, in his supernatural wonder, provided it for them. But they're not satisfied now. They want something new. Beware, my brother and sister, of the love of novelty. People think they're going to make progress in the gospel, in church life, in ecclesia life, in spiritual life. They're going to make progress by something new, something novel. Let us go back to the old paths, the old way. And I don't mean the 1689 confession. I don't mean the Westminster confession. I don't mean the Heidelberg and all the rest of it. I don't even mean the Athanasian Creed and all the rest of it, the Nicene Creed and all that. No, no. I mean Scripture, apostolic Scripture, the gospel, the old, not men, but Scripture. The love of novelty, the love of newness, the love of variety, the love of something fresh, in the wrong sense. The new covenant is fresh. The new covenant is living. The new covenant is novel, if you like. That's what we want, the novelty of the new covenant, the freshness of the new covenant of Christ. I say to you, a love of novelty is a drug, and you can get hooked on it. And just as you get hooked on it, you get drug pushers who push this novelty, who want us to have something exciting, who offer us something exciting today. But don't forget, what's exciting today becomes boring tomorrow. Once you're hooked on this drug, you can never get enough of it. You're never satisfied. We've got to have new hymn books, new hymns, new techniques, new jargon. We've got to have new ways, new this, new that. Let's get back to Scripture. Let's get back to Christ. Let's get back to the Spirit of God. And not just in platitudes. Oh, yes, the Spirit. Oh, yes, the Gospel. Oh, yes, Christ. No, let's mean it, brother and sister. Let's be hard-nosed about this. Let's go back to the old, the real old gospel way. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, ask for the old paths. Walk in that way, the good way. Yeah, praise God. Let's give up this love of pagan novelty. That's just a pagan idea. Let's give up this gush and sentiment that's in the churches. Let's go back to the solid, hard-nosed gospel reality. Let's learn from Israel here. They got tired of God's provision. That's the secret. They got tired of God's provision, and they grumbled against God. They grumbled against Moses. Above all, they grumbled against God. Beware. Let us learn. These things are written for our learning, for our warning, to come upon us in the gospel day, to challenge us not to get sick, weary of Christ and the gospel. May we want, may we demand nothing but the old way, the gospel way. And may we be satisfied, and more than satisfied, delighted with all that God has given us in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, in his word, by his spirit. Amen.